Welcome to Film Companion. I'm Anupama Chopra, and here are this week's reviews. How much spectacle is too much spectacle? Or to be more precise, when do staggering visuals become a slog? These were the questions I was grappling with while watching Dune Part 2, Frank Herbert's iconic 1965 novel, Dune. Once again, we're back on Arrakis, the occupied desert planet which is rich in spice. Spice is the fuel that powers the galaxy. In the first frame of the film, we are told, power over spice is power over all. Timothée Chalamet is Paul Atreides, heir to the House Atreides. His father and army have been massacred by the rival House of Harkonnens. The Harkonnens are essentially interstellar Nazis led by Stellan Skarsgård, channeling Marlon Brando from Apocalypse Now. The second film starts exactly where the first ended. Paul and his pregnant mother, Jessica, played by Rebecca Ferguson, are now embedded with the native inhabitants of Arrakis, called the Fremen. These are led by Stilgar, played by a sexily rumpled Javier Bardem. Stilgar provides the stray slices of humor in this somber saga. Paul, who has visions of the future, is tortured by a terrible prophecy of a holy war that only he has the power to stop. He's a reluctant messiah, torn between love and duty, and of course, the fate of the universe rests on the choices he makes. Or perhaps he isn't making these choices at all, and it's all playing out as it's destined to. The course of events is also controlled by the Bene Gesserit, a sisterhood of witches who reminded me of the corrupt cops from Maqbool, Purohit and Pandit played by Nasruddin Shah and Om Puri. Those two were of course modeled on the three witches from Macbeth. Like them, the Bene Gesserit helped to keep the santulan of the universe. And what a universe it is! In an interview with the Times of London, director Denis Villeneuve declared that he hates dialogue. He said, "I don't remember movies because of a good line. I remember movies because of a strong image. I'm not interested in dialogue at all. Pure image and sound, that is the power of cinema." There aren't many memorable lines in Dune Part 2, but the images are hypnotic, haunting. It doesn't matter how many superhero or science fiction films you've seen, you've never seen anything like this. Villeneuve and production designer Patrice Vermette, who won an Oscar for his work on the first Dune, imagine worlds that are exquisite in their beauty and brutality. There are visuals here that border on poetry. These gigantic spaceships gleaming in the sunlight, or men floating up the side of a mountain, and of course, those sandworms. Lethal, majestic desert creatures that swallow everything in their path like living, fleshy vacuum cleaners. The prevailing note is grandness. And the themes are equally lofty. Dune Part 2 is grappling with ideas of colonization, violence, power, religion. Is Paul the one? A savior described in the first film as a mind powerful enough to bridge space and time, past and future. Or is he simply one more murderous aristocrat hungry for the Emperor's throne? But the storytelling is where the film trips. Dune Part 2 runs for nearly 3 hours, during which Villeneuve and co-screenplay writer John Spates constantly maneuver between the epic scale and the human drama, which eventually flatlines. There are too many moving parts and not enough emotional tissue connecting them. The monstrous villains of the first film, the floating Baron and his nephew Raban, played by Dave Bautista, are given short shrift. Raban keeps killing his own men in rage, which seems pretty short-sighted given that his attempts at keeping Arrakis under control are already failing. The spark of nastiness that this film needs is provided by Fedd Rauta Harkonnen, the Baron's nephew and contender to the throne, played by Austin Butler. He's sexy and deeply sinister, but again, why does he just keep killing his own people? And just in case you don't get how dangerous he is, a character helpfully says, he's psychotic. Dune Part 2 is also a love story between Paul and Chani, a Fremen played by the lovely Zendaya. Chani is fearless in her fight for freedom, but also fearful of what Paul is slowly becoming, aided by his mother's manipulations. Jessica is also part of the Bene Gesserit. There is this gorgeous sequence in which, to avoid alerting the sandworms, Paul and Chani are doing this sort of walking dance in the sand. There's just such beauty and romance in it. Those sandworms are also pretty stunning. They slither like subterranean rockets, and the images of the Fremen riding them are just jaw-dropping. But here's one more question I had. How do the riders get off? Do the worms just stop when they're told to? I wish this film had grabbed my head and my heart a little more. But I recommend that you see it, preferably in IMAX, and let the visuals and that entrancing score by Hans Zimmer wash over you. Hopefully in part 3, Villeneuve will take a leaf from S.S. Rajamouli, our king of spectacle, and dial up the emotion too. Thank you for listening to the Film Companion podcast. Stay tuned for more reviews, interviews, and all that's hot and happening in pop culture and entertainment.